Hello, this is Near FM, coming to you from Freaky 90.3, and this is the Senior Citizen. Paul and myself now will be talking very shortly to Brian McKay from Senior Times, and we'll just find out what's going in their world as such, and it's all sort of current news. They bring out periodicals, I'm not quite sure when, but we will ask Brian all about Senior Times and they are operating up in Beachmouth, I think, somewhere at the moment. It used to be, if I'm not mistaken, and I may be, they used to be down in Mary's Abbey. And they have been around and they run big exhibitions in the RDS during the year. I don't know if it's once or twice, but as soon as we get Paul on the line, we will inquire exactly what they're up to. And with regard to Senior Citizens, and the Senior Citizens are growing by number every week, such, and there seems to be an awareness now, general awareness, that this could be a bit of a problem down the line with regard to the Senior Citizens, which are growing older by the minute. And we'll listen to Brian to see what he has to say on it. And I don't know if we got Brian on the line, have we? No, we haven't Brian on the line yet, but we will now in a minute. And what do you think of the situation right now? There is a general awareness, slowly, but very, very slowly, but surely, a recognition that senior citizens were always part of our population, but they now, it looks like, may become a vital part in years to come.
Well, I personally believe that the government should be thinking ahead on this one, and there's going to be a lot of retirements in the next couple of years as well, and we all know that a lot of people will have to work longer to gain pensions eventually. And I think there should be suggestion now to a lot of the people who are retiring if they would like to stay on for a while, and therefore using the brain power and the knowledge power and the wisdom of the older people who were not saying, of course, a lot of them have just been exhausted, I suppose, by their work years, and unfortunately some of them have gone into not so good health, shall I say. And they may not be able to go along with that. But I think there are also a very high percentage of pensioners and seniors out there who would be quite willing to carry on with their job, or to in maybe drop down a little bit in their salaries and their positions in life to take on a new way of doing things. And I don't think they should be allowed just asked to lie around till they get to a stage when their real pensions is kicking in, or they can't afford to be paid their real pensions. Where if they got started, they say that there is a lack of experience in a lot of areas. So why don't that experience be used for something positive?
Yeah, no, I think we have Brian on the line. Hello, Brian, are you there?
I'm there. How are you?
Not too bad. It's also McCoy and Paul Murray here. And we were just chatting over there before we came on to you about the, with regard to senior citizens, which are growing in number weekly, I believe, it's something like 250 a week turned senior citizens. That's over 65, of course. And your periodical and your efforts to bring senior citizens up to speed. Well, maybe you tell us all about that, Paul.
Basically, what we are, we obviously publish a magazine, Senior Times, which is out in all newsagents and is on subscription. But we basically try and sort of inform people who are retired or about to retire what's out there in terms of their rights and entitlements. And things like pensions and the Fair Deal are all very topical issues with our readers, and we have regular contributions from the people like Sinead Ryan, who you would know from My Money and Me and RT Radio. So we get a lot of letters from older people as well. worried about their entitlements and their rights. So there is a lot happening. And you're right about the numbers. I mean, there's 128,000 people, I think, now at the moment over 65. But by 2046, it'll be close to 500,000. So that's going to be make major impact on the country and changes. And you know, obviously, people are living longer, but also people want to work longer as well. So there's an enormous financial burden, basically, on families and the state in the years to come. So it's important we know about these things.
Yeah, and of course, at the moment, it takes about six people working to support the social welfare, not just the pension, the social welfare. And of course, like you say, in maybe 20 years down the road, there might be only two people working. It would seem at that point in time to be unsustainable unless there was some sort of a pot there. And of course, the pension fund, we know, has been raided that many times.
That's true, yeah. And the retirement, the retirement age is going to have to change and move upwards and upwards as well. I mean, these are only things we're only just facing into now, and we haven't really sort of addressed it properly. But there's a lot of issues too, things like home care and looking after yourself and nursing home care, and then the Fair Deal is a very topical issue now at the moment as well. So there's a lot happening. Hopefully the government will start to react more and instigate more policies in relation to helping older people in home care, but also nursing home care.
Yeah, and a Fair Deal at one time was flagged, and maybe about 8 or 9 years ago, as be all and end all. And because we know there's only about 5% of the population, and they're not all old as such, resided in nursing homes. But the Fair Deal as such, it's very hard to, it's not straightforward as such. If of all the details, it could be maybe 12 weeks it could be wrapped up in. But if there's all sorts of bits and pieces that I have to find out and you have to account for, etc., etc., and it takes 21% of your assets. And,
that's right.
And it's over 3 years. And that is, the details on that. It can be very sparse, and it could be split out all over the place.
But it's very inconsistent the way it's done. There's no automatic entitlement to them, we know the application forms can be difficult and time consuming to actually complete, but they're not means tested either. So we're certainly getting a lot of queries. We have Sinead Ryan speak at our shows, 50 plus expos around the country, and this is the big area she's asked about. Because there is a lot of confusion. Farmers have a lot of concerns because, obviously there's land tied in with houses as well, so it's not as straightforward as for farmers as it is for other people. And it seems to sort of, if you're better off, they seem to be sort of saying that maybe you shouldn't and you should shop around and maybe go privately. But there is a lot of confusion in this area, I have to say.
Yeah, and of course, a nursing home, you can start off at €1,000 a week upwards. I think that the least amount of money we got when we were doing a bit of research was something like €980 a month.
Yeah, I've heard a figure of 7,000 or more per month for some of this sort of higher end. But it does vary. You're right, it does vary. But then also you got home care as well. I mean, the home care rates tend to be anywhere around €20-30 per hour. And then that's not including the overnight care as well. So these things are expensive, and it's something you need to plan well in advance.
Yeah, well, home care, now they've increased the hours with regard to home care, and quite a lot of places is provided by private home care facilities and such firms that operate in home care. And it can be very, very useful as such for a person wants to stay in their own community and their own home. And I think they've increased the hours somewhat. But we know of instances where a home care person coming had half an hour to get a person dressed and washed and all sorts of, which was utterly impossible, particularly people if they were very elderly and immobile.
That's right, that's right. 75% of nursing homes in this country are in the private sector. Mm-hmm. And then you have people like Home Instead, like Senior Care, like Bluebird. Yeah. These are the private care providers. So, I mean, the private sector are taking up a lot of the slack. I just think, personally, that the public sector to do a little more from their side of things, too.
Yes, definitely. But like we're getting, the population is living longer, and it looks like there's more to be added to the senior citizens and the senior citizens as such. And if we go back even to the pension, which is the maximum is 230.80 a week, I think. But of course, the cost of living is rising all the time, and it's not index linked, so it goes up, and we're getting a fiver extra, of course, now at the end of March. And I'd say that's wiped out now with inflation already. So is it a race to the bottom, do you think?
Yeah, but it looks like at the moment, obviously the age profile and the fact that people are living longer, it does put a burden on all of us, but that shouldn't be. Older people shouldn't be penalised because of that. I mean, they've contributed so much to society anyway. So it's unfair. I get annoyed sometimes when I hear these negative stories about the extra burden that older people are putting on us all. But it's not really a fair reflection of what the actual facts are. People do want to work longer, but they are entitled to be looked after in their older age as well.
Yeah, and of course another thing that's been flagged big time at the moment is the travel pass as such. The travel pass, and there's all sorts of allegations at the moment. It's been absolutely abused, which we know is not the truth. But that could be part of another agenda, which we won't get into at this moment in time.
No, that's right.
Yeah. Now, with regard to your exhibition, you usually have it in the RDS.
We have it all over the country, actually. Mm-hmm. We're in Dublin every October. We're on again from the 20th to the 22nd this year in October. But we have it in Cork. We have it in... we do it in Galway and we do it in Killarney, so we do it all around the country. Mm-hmm. So it's if you're around on 20th, 22nd and of October, come along. Free tickets are available by getting onto us in Senior Times. You can get us on the website seniortimes.ie, mm-hmm. and just get in touch and we'll send you tickets. It's basically an all-round sort of information lifestyle event, and all the relevant bodies will be there if people have queries about their pensions, about their entitlements. If they want to ask Sinead Ryan, who's an expert in this, questions on a one-to-one basis, she's there as well. So it's important to get the information, not just when you retire, but people looking to retire as well, to know what your rights are, what your options are. So, come along by all means. And there's other stuff there like fashion shows and free giveaways. So put in your diary.
Yeah, and that's in October.
That's in October, the 21st, 22nd October.
We'll be on to you before October
to talk
to you about it. And I presume it's in the main hall, is it, in the RDS?
It's in the main and entrance hall of the RDS.
Yeah,
and
that's
we even
a big
do,
space.
And we do, yes, it's about 6,000 square metres, and we do a history and genealogy event as well alongside it, which you can go into as well, because it's very important when you're retired. You want to do stuff, you want to take up a hobby or pastime, and genealogy and tracing your family history and learning your DNA is a very popular hobby now with older people. But we would have lots of other stuff as well, like, taking craft making, anything from wood turning to knitting, stitching, whatever, it's all going to be there as well. So we just try and show people how to keep yourselves mentally active and physically active in your latter years.
Yeah, well, physically active, I think, is essential too,
Absolutely.
And if you think physically active, you will be physically active. So now, genealogy at the moment is a big thing, looking up your family tree, and some people discover that they've skeletons in the closet that they didn't want to pull out as such. But then that brings me on to, the digital media as such, and quite a lot of senior citizens can use it to no problem. but some others can't as such, and can't navigate the way around the web. And I'm one of them, to tell you the honest to God truth. But it can be a huge help to know exactly what you're entitled to and who you can get in touch with, and etc. If you want to know the digital number or address or whatever.
Yeah, it's a great time saver. I mean, most people, unfortunately, the majority of people over 65 still are not internet sort of friendly. I think it is changing as more people get a little bit older, that the generations change. But once you are internet savvy, so to speak, mm-hmm. it is such a useful resource for particularly for older people in terms of, you know, getting things, certificates, getting flight tickets, everything. I mean, my parents are both in the late 70s, and they rely entirely almost on the internet now, booking holidays, everything from, getting your motor certificates, everything. It's so much easier, and it's such a great resource that older people can make more out of. But there needs to be more sort of initiatives by government agencies to encourage older people to get online.
Can I just put in there, Brian? This is Paul.
Yeah, sure, go ahead.
With Austin about. I was talking to a lady this morning, a widow, and she's 80 now, And she has a lot of problems with people on the internet, on the web, when she's dealing with, for instance, she was dealing with air, the air thing for her phone.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
she said they were very abrupt to her, and she tried to get her son to replace her, and they said, no, it has to be you. And
that's very true. Yeah.
And she was inquiring about 14 euros that she was, now this is the sum. And the guy on the line that she finally got through, she said she was 3 hours trying to get through. And when she finally got through, he was saying, just pay up, you owe us the money. And she said, I don't owe the money, the date hasn't come in yet for me to do this. And there didn't seem to be any way. She actually had her daughter with her in the house, which happens to be the same name as herself, and she said I'll call my daughter over to do it, and she called it, which happens to be, she said, no, you're telling us lies. She said, you told us you were Madeline, and now you're bringing this lady, that's there's something going on there. And the lady is 80 years of age, and she's been accused of lying to them. Now I know this is only one incident, but according to her, she said a lot of her compatriots of the same age in the same knitting club, shall I say, which she comes from, are having that type of stuff all the time, trying to deal with bills coming in. As she said to me, she said, when I was with Aircom, I joined 40 years ago or maybe more. I never owed a penny, and no one ever seems to look back and say, this is an honest person and she's trying to fix up her bill. It's just these, the new company. Now, I'm not sure how much of Aircom is in Air. I suppose it's just a renamed thing. But she says you get no thanks for paying your bill. I mean, is there anywhere that you know of? I mean, you're in the senior citizens business, that she and her friends could turn to, that just to deal with these big, huge companies that have no time for older, because all they want them to do, according to them, they want them to take on another line or series on television or sports or something. Is there any line that they could go to?
Well, the best person to speak to on that, and we have them at other shows, and we've had them contributing articles, is the communications regulator. And when they exhibit our shows, they tell us the biggest query they have, and you're exactly right, the biggest problem or complaints they have is actually changing or cancelling utility bills, and particularly communications providers, just as you said. Because you're right, though, there's no loyalty there whatsoever. I mean, 40 years regular services, it doesn't matter if the company's name has changed, it's the same provider essentially, and why they're treated like that. That's the other thing too, is quite annoying. You have to speak to the actual individual who actually is the account holder, and they don't seem to understand and appreciate that people, older people, just they don't understand that all that's going on and need to be handed over to the kids. I'm always asked for my parents are getting on to me to check out certain things, and why am I getting spam for this, and why am I getting an email for that. But the communications regulator are the people to speak to in relation to that.
Can I write that down there? Regulator,
yeah. I don't have a number to hand, unfortunately, but are Comreg, or they're also known, which is an abbreviation of them.
Comreg, what's that? COM?
COMREG, yeah. Or the Communications, Office of the Communications Regulator. They're one of the semi-states. They're actually, I think they're actually a quango, but they are a regulatory body that look after the communications industry. And I know for a fact that that's one of the biggest areas they have in terms of dealing with telecommunications providers.
Yes.
Yeah, and they regulate quite a lot of different things, COMREG, do. to get a phone call from, normally it'll be, I believe it'll be from India, a service provider. Sometimes they can't understand the person's accent.
Yeah, and that's not even unique to older people. I mean, we're a business and we get the same calls as well. It's amazing that people do this and they still call, because clearly some people clearly are duped by this. So when people get a call from Microsoft, typically it's usually Microsoft in India saying they want to check your computer and check and see if it's a virus. Do not have anything to do with them.
Yes.
And hang up as quickly as possible, because any of the if you're banking online or if you're dealing with any like things like Impost or anything online, they all say to you, if you see an email coming from us, ignore it. Individual emails referencing your own bank or referencing maybe your post office account, Impost account, whatever, don't go near that email, because that's generally going to be spam. That's generally not going to be malicious sort of material designed basically for them to get access to your records, and so ignore it.
Oh, yes, and we always, advise people to ignore. If you don't really understand it, just switch the computer off.
And then they can reload it again.
If it's there again, switch it off, and it'll go away eventually.
And a lot of them are phrased in such a way that, you know, alert, alert, you have to access your account now, or this will stop, or that will stop. That's all just a scare tactic.
Yeah, we've got it. Even in the radio station here, we hacked into a huge amount of stuff going back years, archive stuff. The same thing is, I can't remember the name of the crowd that did it. There's a name on it. It's like pirates or something like that. We had to delete umpteen pages and pages and pages of stuff. But the chap here got it all right, but it took him about a week. That's a big organisation, but an ordinary person, it can be very, very upsetting. It doesn't happen, by and large, with regard to individuals. It usually target companies and all this type of thing. But it can be very upsetting. And, of course, if you have a load of viruses in an old computer...
Yeah, a lot of time they're not just looking for your bank details, financial details, they're actually looking for your name and address.
Yeah.
And once they have a name, an email address, you're added to some sort of database, and that just opens you up to all sorts of other, spurious emails you get from other organizations. So a lot of it is just literally data collection, and they sell those sort of data collection onto somebody else, and the next thing you know, you're getting emails from all over the world,
Nigeria,
yeah,
in particular, or Russia, maybe. But to get away from all this now, Senior Times, you've been around for quite a while, I think. I think you used to be over at Mary's Abbey, if I'm not mistaken, were you?
Where we were, our office were based, you mean?
Yeah.
Oh no, we started out in Marion Square many years ago. Since 2000. Started in Marion Square. We're based in Ranelagh. The shows are going around the same number of time. But as I said, we're available on newsagents. We're available on subscription, and we basically deal with a lot of the active retirement groups around the country as well. So secretaries and chairpersons of all the active retirement groups around the country would know us well, because we send them the magazine free, because we kind of feel they need to be kept up to speed with what's going on. But it's a market we enjoy sort of catering for, reaching out to, and we would deal with a lot of good contributors to us, who write to our magazine, write in our magazine, and it's really all about travel and the hobbies and lifestyle and just making your life more fulfilling as you get older.
Yeah. All very positive stuff.
That's it. You have to be. Yeah.
And now, in the future, have you any plans to expand this or Are you going to go into other activities as such, or is it the same?
I mean, we see ourselves just really catering for this audience. Obviously, I mean, we want more people to buy our magazine and come to our shows. Mm. We're looking at doing a show in Belfast as well, and maybe bringing the shows to more areas around the country. Because we know older people, you know, it's not that easy to travel. So we want to sort of say to people that we cater for this audience and maybe expand upon the magazine. And our genealogy show is going very well in the moment, Back to Our Past. So we'll extend that to Belfast now as well. But we're very happy with that sort of audience we sort of cater for, and we hope we can continue to do so.
Yes, and like I say, your show in Dublin anyway is on in October.
Yeah, we're in Cork beginning of March. We're in Killarney, if anyone wants to take the train down, because right opposite the train station in Killarney is the Malton Hotel.
Oh, yes,
have a
I know.
Show out there on the 7th of May. So you want to pop down for the day maybe, get the free travel, or you've Dublin on the 20th, 21st and 22nd. But also in Galway in the beginning of September. But they're a nice day out. We always have giveaways for people. We've everything from gardening clinics to wine tastings to fashion shows to, you know, we keep it as upbeat as possible. But also there's a lot of information there for everybody on statutory rights and entitlements. Okay.
A big emporium as such. Brian, thank you very much for coming on and giving us an insight. And we'll be
Thanks for the opportunity.
Yeah, we'll be speaking to you later on during the year as you can update us on what's going on.
Thanks very much.
Thank you, Brian. Thank you.
Bye-bye.